Welcome to the Peep Show Podcast.
Your glance at sex work and social justice.
With Jesse and PJ Sage. Welcome back to another episode of the Peep Show Podcast. Today we're talking to XBiz BBW Cam Artist 2019 winner Destiny Diaz. We also check in with cam model Riley Nix, who is fresh off her visit to XBiz Miami.
Thanks for joining us today. Jesse and I are dedicated to platforming sex worker voices and covering important political issues for those in the sex trades. But we can't do it without your help.
We'd hope to move from broadcasting monthly to bi-monthly, but with each episode taking nearly 20 hours to produce, we need at least $400 a month to make that happen. If you believe in our mission, find us at patreon.com/peepshowpodcast and show us some love.
We're also seeking advertisers to help us grow. Thanks for helping us make Peep Show happen.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Riley Nix. I'm a cam model and independent porn performer.
And is this the first time that you've gone to XBiz?
Yeah, it's my first time at any adult convention.
My first time in Miami.
First time at XBiz.
That's exciting.
Yeah, a lot of firsts.
Wow, cool. Did you have a good time?
Oh my God, it was amazing. Being around a community of sex workers was so uplifting. Everybody was so positive and sweet. It's just everyone complimenting each other all the time for like 4 days straight.
That's so nice. We went the last 2 years and we didn't make it this year and we're so jealous.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. I am feeling a bit of not FOMO because we did miss out. just a little bit of a heavy heart.
Well, you can live vicariously through me through this interview.
We are. So tell us what the best part of it was.
Really just connecting with other sex workers and being in a community. Because the job is very, very isolating when you're like a cam model and more like an independent porn performer because you're not going to like sets or anything.
Right.
So it's very isolating and, you know, there's so much stigma. And if you're not dealing with people around you with stigma, people just don't understand you.
Right.
It was just so cool to be around people who just get it. And you can just like take your kiss out and it is no big deal. They'll just take theirs out too. It was like literally I met a girl. I like just met her and she like flashed me and then I flashed her back and that's how we introduced each other. It's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I did some like really cool things that I've never done before. Like my first like real photo shoot. Virtual reality porn.
I saw on Twitter that you did virtual reality.
Yeah,
tell us about
that. Yeah, how'd you get hooked up with that?
See, the beauty of just being at a convention, I was just kind of sitting there and nice guy approached me and just started talking to me about his VR. He showed me demos of what he's done and he seemed, you know, really nice and it seemed legit. And my friend was with me, Melissa Songbird. And he asked us if we want to shoot something with him. And we just kind of looked at each other and we're like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Was it like a different experience shooting in VR?
Yes, because you have to look at the camera a certain way because there's like double cameras.
Oh.
Yeah, so to be able to looking at the viewer directly, you have to like look at it a certain way. You have to move very slowly because of just the way the motion works.
Oh, interesting.
It's funny because he's kind of used to working more like with porn stars and we're both just these kind of goofy like cam models like girl next door. So we were just like kind of kept like goofing around and like we were kind of awkward at first and had a little bit of trouble with certain things. But then like we got into it and it was good.
That's funny. Yeah, I imagine there's like a learning curve to that, especially if you're used to doing everything self-shot, like having somebody else there and having different sorts of equipment and requirements.
Absolutely. And like for me, and I think a lot of like amateur porn people are like this, where you just come up with a vague idea and then you just talk to the camera. He had like things he wanted us to say, which is where we kind of kept stumbling.
Yeah.
Because we're not really used to that. So.
Yeah. I've even felt like that actually when I've shot custom videos where they're like, I want you to say X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, okay.
I know. It sounds easy, but it's not.
No, it really isn't. Especially if it's not something you would like organically say, then you're like, oh man, I have to try to get into this thing that's not really my fantasy, but I have to make it seem like it's my fantasy.
Or you have to like own the dialogue in some way.
Yeah. You have to be like actually good at acting. And I'm like,
who says porn is easy money? It's so not.
Right? No, it is so not. I had this one custom guy and he literally was like, can you just keep saying the word cunt really loudly over and over? And I was like, oh, well, it's not really my style, but I guess I can.
And then you're like, shoot, do I want to put that on my mini vids page though? Because then a lot of people will want that. I had that issue. I had like a guy, not for customs, but for phone sex, who was like, will you record me and then you can put it on your channels? But the thing that he wanted me to put on there, I was like, oh, that's off brand for me. I don't know. I don't think I can publish that hidden.
Yeah. That goes in the secret vault.
Yeah. It's funny all the things that you deal with in this job.
Oh my God, I know. Isn't it wild? And that's why X-Biz is amazing, because they understand, you know? No one else really understands this.
No, you can't like tell your neighbor like, oh yeah, it was a rough day because I didn't negotiate like my brand and somebody else's kink.
Yeah, that's what's neat about it is like, unlike most of the other conventions, it's really just about interacting with other industry people. So there really is like a level of feeling known or accepted or with your people.
And that's why I'm so glad X-Biz was my first convention. And that's why I like was like, I'm definitely going to go, because I really wanted to be around like my own people.
Yeah.
You know? I definitely do want to meet fans and stuff at some point. It sounds very chaotic, but kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I really love just being around, you know, all the sex workers.
Yeah.
So tell us about the red carpet.
Oh, that was so fun. It makes you feel like relevant. It makes you feel like all fancy. It was really cool. Yeah, it was so fun. And I was like in this like really like it was like sexy but elegant, like all white outfit, and I'm just like working the red carpet. It was so fun.
Oh, we saw your pictures. I loved your dress. It was very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. I also love the spontaneity of everything, because so, for example, I was just, like, at Spring Chain's cabana, because, like, all the companies had, like, cabanas around the pool, and Spring Chain had one. I was just, like, chilling there, and one of the staff was just like, hey, you want to just, like, we're doing a photo shoot. You want to come join? And I'm like, okay. And then I just, like, did this impromptu, like, awesome photo shoot with a bunch of girls, and it was, like, super fun. And then directly after that, I went to another photo shoot, and then I shot, like, really cool porn. I used a motor bunny for the first time, and
nice.
Yeah, how was that?
So fun. It was so much fun. Oh my God, it was it was so crazy. I was just like laying on the floor for like 5 minutes after. I couldn't move.
We have a terrible story that I'm super embarrassed about.
What's our terrible story? I don't even know what he's going to say. I have no idea.
It's about that time you sat on one of those and I pushed the wrong button.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And we were at a sex club and like our friends were there and he's like, Jesse, just try this. And I was like, I don't know. And then I like straddled it. And then he turned this thing on and I was like, what are you doing? You're like, gonna kill me.
It wasn't that brand, but it was like one of those same things. And like it had this remote control and it was really complicated. And whoever was using it before like had turned all the knobs all the way up. So when I pushed the on button, everything was on like explosive. And she just screamed at me and got up. Like,
oh my God, yeah, you do not want that. Just like no warm up, just bam, like shock to your genitals.
My friend was laughing at us. She was just like, oh my God.
It was That's totally not on purpose.
In front of like all those people. Oh my gosh.
PJ's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know how to work it.
Oh, that's great. That's funny.
Do you have any final takeaways from your experience at X-Biz?
Yeah, I guess it shows how important community is. Like, I seriously feel like so uplifted and positive and I almost like want to start crying right now thinking about it. It was amazing being around sex workers because it's so isolating and people are so fucking shitty about what you do, even though what you do is you're just making people happy and you're making yourself happy and you're navigating capitalism, you know, and it's a job that's accessible for a lot of us. Like, I'm chronically ill and it's such an accessible job for me and I fucking love it, you know, and such amazing energy to be around people who were just like empowered and professional, empowered sluts, you know, like it was just so amazing.
I love it. Yeah.
So yeah, anyone out there, like if you are just in like kind of the middle of nowhere, like just try to find people on Twitter, you know, try to make your own little meetup, try to just like get involved in community because it's really, really good for your mental state, emotional state.
And also seek out sex worker friendly podcasts.
Yeah, of course. Like,
he had to like get a plug in there.
Where and can check out the newspaper.
Yeah,
that you guys are in. Your column.
Thank you. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at it's Riley Nix, and then you can find all my links and everything about me there.
Awesome. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Yeah, thank you. It was really nice.
Before we start our main interview, now is a good time to hit the pause button and head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/peepshowpodcast. Even $1 a month shows us that you care and want to see Peep Show continue to thrive. Also, you can help increase our reach with a review on iTunes.
A quick note before we start the interview. We recorded this conversation prior to XBiz Miami. Jesse and I want to congratulate Destiny on winning BBW Clip Artist of the Year. We couldn't be happier for her.
We're here today with Destiny Diaz. She is a cam model and clip artist who's been nominated for 37 awards and has won 8, which have included Minivids BBW of the Year, Profile of the Year, and Miss Congeniality. She's also won BBW Awards Show as BBW of the Year and the Cammy Awards as Curvaceous Model of the Year. So that is very impressive.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. We're really happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be on here. I'm a fan of your show. I've listened to quite a few episodes.
Aww.
Whenever I'm editing or uploading, I put on a podcast. And yeah, your guys' has been a go-to for the last couple weeks.
Thank you so much. We're a fan of yours, too. I saw that you are nominated for 3 different XBiz Awards. Can you tell us about that?
So I'm nominated for 3 XBiz Awards this year. Last year, I was nominated for 1. It was my first time ever being nominated. So to be nominated for 3 this year and be attending the show, I am really excited.
Were you there last year?
No. Oh, my God. I was having serious FOMO. I stalked everyone's Snapchats and Instagram stories, like praying that I was there. But
oh. No, I wasn't. Yeah. So this is your first year going.
Yeah. I'm all booked and registered.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so it'll be fun to go there with 3 nominations.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, I've seen what I've seen online and in social media, how other models portray their trip. But I really hope that mine is just as exciting because, I don't know, I just feel like sometimes you have a big buildup of what you want the trip to be like and it's so glamorous. And then sometimes you get there and you're just confused and scared and nervous. So I just hope that it's a little less stressful than AVN's. AVN's was really overwhelming.
It's so different, though. AVN and XBiz are like not the same experience at all.
It's completely the opposite. It's really so cool because it's such an opportunity to actually hang out with other industry people in a much, much more relaxed environment than AVN.
Yeah. AVN was like a culture shock.
Did you go for the first time this year?
No, I've never gone to any industry events. So this year I was determined to go to AVN in January and Miami in May, and I already did AVN. That was really great. I had a good time. I don't mean to play it down because it was really awesome, really magical, and I made some really great friendships there. But I am really excited for this different experience.
Yeah, I think one of the nice things about AVN is that it's just for people in the industry. So everyone can hang out and they're not like trying to interface with fans. I mean, there's a good place for that. It's nice to talk to your fans too, but it's also great to just have a time where you can talk to other people you work with.
Yeah, I mean, we're so isolated, and I feel like I already know so many of these people. And so to finally see them in real life and like hug them and chat with them, take pictures with them. And I love that. Like when I was at AVN, for example, I would run into people that I knew some of my supporters also loved. So it's really cool to like get pictures with them to surprise my supporters with. And I'm really looking forward to doing that kind of thing for Expos.
Yeah, that's really fun. I think people get excited too because they're like, you're with my other favorite person.
It's like the best crossover.
Yeah. I know. I actually love like sharing clients with my friends. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, me too. And I feel like a lot of my girlfriends in the industry are also plus size because I've just been a part of that community.
Yeah.
We all have a lot of very similar and some of the same fans. And it's just, I don't know, it's really fun. Like, especially in Vegas when we were like just live from the hot tub party, like the topless hot tub party, blowing minds. It was fun.
When I was at AVN, I got together with one of my friends and we were just having a casual lunch and we realized that we have four of the same night flirt clients. And we're like, how is that possible?
That is so cool.
Yeah. And I was so like, cool. If that's, I mean, I think that people are attracted to, you know, a certain type of person. And if you have friends that like fit that, there's likely to be a lot of crossover.
Yeah, you share style for sure.
Yeah, I love putting my guys on my other friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I do Days of Thickness. I'm putting on other really hot plus size girls for you guys. That is kind of where that stemmed from. I just really wanted to show the people who supported me other really, really hot girls that they might like.
Yeah, that's really fun. I think you're going to have fun. We went last year. We were nominated last year for like a Clip Artist Duo Award and we didn't win, but we went down there for it. And it was so cool to walk the red carpet with a nomination. Like, you feel like a million bucks.
I know. I took so many pictures of my red carpet. I'll flex them on Instagram like I'm someone special. I'm like, oh my God, red carpet, me?
I know. It's so exciting.
It is. It is. And like at AVN, when you're walking on the red carpet, people are interviewing you on the side and like people know your name and they're like, oh my God, Destiny, turn for a picture. And I'm like, oh my, what is this? Really important.
I think that's probably especially true for online workers because, you know, we never are out and about in those social things. And so you don't realize that people are actually following your career.
Yeah. Oh, it was so crazy at AVN when I had a fan walk up to me and he was like, I've been watching you since 2012. I remember this show with these girls and this concept and you guys did this. I was like, blown away. Like, you're a real fan. Like, you really know me. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something that I should probably only do once a year, a fan meet, because otherwise I feel like my head would just get way too big.
That's really funny. Okay, so you said that when you were at AVN, you saw somebody who's been following you since 2012. Is that when you got into the industry?
Yeah, I started in May of 2012, so I'm just coming around to my 7-year camiversary.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you have been in the industry that long. So you must have seen a lot of changes.
Yeah, I'm an old lady in the industry now, I guess.
How'd you get into it?
So when I first started dating my current boyfriend, I took some pictures for him on his laptop and he came home from work and he was like, you look like a cam girl. And I was like, a cam girl? What's that? And so he explained to me briefly that, you know, in his single days, he used to frequent these websites and I was so interested. And I'm like, well, that's funny because I used to be on like Chat Roulette, just being bloody. So, like,
oh my God, I remember Chat Roulette.
Yeah. So that night we went to the library and we signed up and Destiny Diaz was created. Well, actually, she wasn't Destiny Diaz back then. It was just Destiny with two Ds. But I wanted her to be a little bit more personable. So
yes.
We added a last name.
Wow. So you signed up at the library?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Don't shame me like that.
No. I just thought that was like an interesting point of the story.
Yeah. Well, at the time we were living with his mom. So like I couldn't really just go print it off in his living room. So we had to go somewhere to print off the paperwork the model agreement to sign and scan my IDs and stuff. So I took a quick trip that night. And yeah, we signed up and everything was sent in. And like within 8 days, my account was active.
Wow. So what was it like when you started? Did you like it? Did you take to it quickly?
Yeah, well, I don't think I felt very new. Like I know a lot of girls, the first time they broadcast, it's like super stressful because it's out of their element and they haven't done it before. But I was like hoeing on Chat Roulette. Like I was seasoned. I was ready for it. Like it was really easy. Came naturally. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I did a lot of research too. I didn't just jump right in. I watched a lot of models in that period of time where I was waiting for my account to be activated. Yeah. So I just kind of got an idea of like what people were doing, what they were offering, how they reacted to big tips, small tips, trolls. Like I just really absorbed as much as possible for this community. And then I felt a little bit more equipped when I started.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea for anyone who's starting.
You think you like know a lot about sex and then you join the industry.
Yeah, but it's like a whole subculture with its own language. So even if you know what those things are, like you might not necessarily know what all those acronyms stand for.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah,
let alone like why people desire those things or like what it is they're actually looking for. It's like one thing to like have a name or an acronym, but then like really to like get at the root of people's desires. What is it that they're actually looking for? I think those are really complicated questions that it's like often underappreciated how much you have to learn to do that kind of work.
Definitely. I feel like I've just had a better understanding of like where people come from with their desires too. Like I feel like if I was a teenager, I'd be like, ew, foot fetish, what the fuck? But now I feel like let me do my pedicure and join my foot club because I get it. Like I understand what it is you're looking for and what you like about feet now. And I don't know, it's just a learning curve.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned a lot about myself from sex work, just what I like and what I think I can do for other people.
So this is really, really selfish, a selfish aside, but I'm working this week on my column where I'm talking a little bit about foot fetishes in it. So since you brought this up, what do you think that people with foot fetishes are looking for?
So I feel like I can't speak for everyone because like there's a vast group of people here who like a lot of different things within
right.
it.
For yeah. sure.
But I feel like the people who have come around me, they really like the strong, this sounds so strange to say out loud, but like a strong, dominant foot.
Uh-huh,
like
yeah.
just it's like wide. There's pressure. I can crush. I like to have like my toes done and pedicure, feet all soft and lotioned. I just think that like touching feet, it's so, I don't know, it's hard to put in words, but yeah. you like feel it. You kind of get it. You understand like the sensuality of feet when you like start playing with them. And then you hear what they're saying back to you about what they like and what they want to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I'm starting to get it more and more.
Yeah, that's all interesting. Sounds like there's femininity and sensuality and power
yes.
all like wrapped up in one body part, one image, yeah. one experience.
Well, if you think about it, similar to like people who have like eye fetishes and like, you know, people who like to have good eye contact because it can be sensual, it can be dominant, it can be like, I could look right into your soul or, you know, I could just have sad puppy dog eyes that make you feel all kinds of types of ways. So it's really similar like that. It's really just how you like dance with your foot. It's like it has its own language.
That's so interesting. I'm going to be like really personal here for a second because you've brought that up and I don't think we've ever had this conversation. But I actually really like those intensive eye contact videos. They do something that's really interesting for me. But in part, that's because in real life, I'm terrified. Terrified is not even the right word. Like, I fundamentally, the way my brain is wired, it is really, really emotional and anxiety producing to make eye contact for extended periods of time. I have to do it in like 2 second bursts and then take a breath and then do it in like 2 second bursts. And, you know, it's just how my brain is wired. But it's interesting with those videos because it takes you out of the social situation and you kind of have a certain experience that I totally couldn't have in person. And so it's really interesting for me. It does something to my brain to be able to have that experience because it's not something I could actually stand in real life.
Yeah, and I feel like that's where fetishes really just come from, is just your own personal insecurities or personal experiences coming out and just getting satisfied sexually.
Yeah.
You know? Also, it's so cute that you take like small eye contact breaks. That is so sweet. Oh my God. Dying over here. Melted. But I love eye contact. And I find that like when I am giving eye contact, it just makes you a little bit more connected to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It feels like you're having a conversation with just eye contact. Like I can tell you're enjoying it, or I can tell that you're nervous, or I'm teasing you too much. And it's just like, it's another way to communicate without having to use words.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I think eye contact is so hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've actually never heard PJ say that. So that was really like funny to me. It was very cute. I mean, I know he doesn't like eye contact, but I've never heard him say that.
I mean, I like videos it. It's give him just lots really of feels. Intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really takes you out of your personal element. And you're kind of just, especially if you're just watching it alone, you know, because you're not being judged. Because sometimes you can watch porn with your significant other and you're still like a little on edge. Do they like this? Are they going to judge me for liking this?
Right.
Yeah. So just being able to do it on your own time and your personal space and just let loose. That's like, I feel like that's super healthy. Yeah.
I think it is too.
I think sometimes there's almost something therapeutic about that. Cause it's like, it's almost can be like reflective or meditative. Cause you have time and space to like pay attention to how your like own body and mind is responding to things in a way that when you're performing for other people or you're like aware of how other people are seeing you, it's harder to just like pay attention to yourself.
Definitely. I totally agree with that.
Or at least like pay attention to yourself in a way that's not like through the gaze of another person.
Right.
Yeah, that's all so super interesting. That's one of the things that I have to say that I've loved about doing this kind of work too, is that you get this insight into people's desires that you just don't get in other ways, like in the context of primary relationships.
I feel like I look at everyone differently now. Like I can sit in a crowded food court and I'm just scouting around. I'm like, yeah, you definitely like big tits. Like, I can tell that you are just one of those guys who is just a slave to the big asses. Like, I feel it. I don't know. It's cool. I love to just like scout people and try to guess what they're into.
I have that experience too, because I do a lot of phone sex. And so I have a lot of people who call me from work, from their offices and close the doors. And then when I see businessmen like out and about, I cannot help but like look at them and imagine that they're like calling phone sex operators totally. And like what sort of kinks they want to play out in their office.
It's the best. I love the office guys. They're so bold. That is so bold.
I know.
Like, you are so horny. You are willing to risk your job right now. That's hot.
It really is. I had somebody like that today and he's like, my office door is closed. And I was like, all right, game on.
Open it a crack.
Yeah, right. See who's around. Yeah.
I remember one time I did this show with someone and he was on his lunch break. And I remember he had Subway and he was having a great time in his office beating off, watching me on cam. And then all of a sudden, his laptop slammed shut. And I saw him pull his pants up and his webcam fell off and then it disconnected. Oh, and I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And I don't even remember like when he came back or if I ever found out what happened, but God damn, just stressed me out for him that day.
Yeah.
But also, don't jerk off at work in your office. Like, I know the idea is hot, but it's just like too much of a risk.
Have you ever had people get caught at home?
Like by their significant others?
Yeah.
Yes. I had a supporter one time. He was really into this one type of custom video. He constantly got sister-in-law videos.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, one day his wife hit me up and she messaged me on ManyVids, I think it was. And at the time I had an outstanding order and our last message was his fantasy that he wanted. And she was just like, hi, I know this has nothing to do with you. We're going to work on our marriage. I would appreciate if you didn't talk to him anymore. And I was just like,
whoa,
bowed out. Like, didn't have to say anything.
Wow.
No reply needed. I was like, ManyVids, can you refund this man?
Yeah.
But,
wow.
Yeah, it was a little awkward, but I mean, well, maybe he didn't feel like he could express himself sexually in a safe place in his relationship, and it just sucks. But I feel like a lot of people feel that way, and it's okay to indulge in porn.
Yeah, I agree. And you can't like expect your significant other to be into like every single thing you're into. The thing that I think too is that not everybody wants to actually realize all of their fantasies. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a fantasy.
Right. And I think that, I don't know, we've come across this a lot too, but especially when it's just a fantasy. And I mean, some things obviously are just a fantasy, right? Like giantess fetishes or like the alien impregnation fantasy. That stuff isn't real. So I don't think those people want that to actually happen. It seems to me that a lot of people don't necessarily want to burden, or they feel like these desires are a burden to like their significant others. And that's also part of this dynamic.
Yeah, I think you're right. But imagine how wonderful it would be if you could tell your significant other your deepest, darkest desires and secrets and then comply. And now you get to actually live out these fantasies with someone that you love and trust. And it's just like, I feel like you probably would get more from it than not.
Yeah.
To just be open and honest and talk about it.
Yeah.
It could be really fun. It could turn your whole relationship around. It could get crazy.
Yeah.
You never know, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it might get the other partner to open up more. And then you're like, holy crap, I had no idea you liked all this stuff. And it just opens up a new gate of a relationship and new trust and new experiences. I think that's good.
I think that's good too.
Yeah.
I hear both of those things.
Right. I mean, when it works out that way, I think that's wonderful. I just don't know if everybody is compatible on every desire. That's the only...
For sure.
You know, and so it's like in those cases, some people may be compatible in life like a million ways and like have a really awesome life together and have a few desires that maybe just don't line up. And it's like, you know, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, it can be really difficult, but would you want to stay with someone who judged your personal fantasies? Like, even if they didn't want... As long as they... respected you after you have this information with them. You know, I think that's really like the main point here.
Yeah. That's
you don't
really
want to stay with someone who can't respect you being honest and open and judging you for that.
Right.
Right.
But they have no obligation to cater to your fetishes.
Right.
It's just, it could be really good.
And it is like a very vulnerable thing to share that with someone else. So you would kind of hope that they would at least be like supportive, even if it like wasn't their thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's go back to XBiz. So you're nominated for 3 awards. Is there any that you would prefer to win, or you're pushing for more? How do you campaign for these things?
So I'm nominated for BBW Clip Artist, BBW Cam Model, and Community Figure. And the one I really want to push this year is the BBW Clip Artist. Last year I was nominated for Cam Model, and I don't feel like I really represent a cam model as much these days because a lot of my focus is into videos. I do cam occasionally, but my main focus for a while has been videos. And over the last few years, I feel like I've been recognized like for Miss Congeniality in many vids 2 years in a row. I feel like I am so flattered to be recognized as, you know, someone who's congenial and a friend to all our community. But I put a lot of effort and energy into my clips, and I would love to have something to represent that. And I feel like over the last year, I've really changed my content and improved myself in many ways. And I would love something to just represent that badly. Like, Nice Girl of the Year is so great. Don't get me wrong. But
what have you done to change your content?
So I have mostly done solo content and girl-girl content and boy-girl with my significant other. But last year, I joined Tinder and things got a little crazy.
Oh, yeah. So,
I started a new series on my ManyVids page called Tinder Tales. And I'm on episode 6 now. And so Tinder Tales is, I find real authentic Tinder matches in my area. We get them tested and we have a little date and we film it, and it gets kind of steamy. And if things go well in Tinder Tales episode, they move into a Ho Diaries episode. And Ho Diaries is very specifically just boy-girl fuck scenes with men who aren't my man. So it's been really fun. It's a part 1, part 2 series, and it's really outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah, wow. It's interesting to hear this whole process and the authenticity that goes into it.
I know I love really like authentic reality-based porn, but it's really hard to find that in the mainstream because a lot of it is just porn stars role-playing.
Right.
But I'm really out here. I'm really finding these guys on Tinder. And like, I love the taxi videos. I love the bus videos and all of those cool like concepts, but I just don't feel
lazy. So when I'm sitting down in a video with my Tinder date and I'm interviewing them for the video and I'm asking them stuff, I don't know the answer. That's right. Really exciting because my fans don't know. I don't know. And we're kind of doing it together.
Wow.
Yeah, so, it's really cool.
So has there been like a lot of people that you've met on Tinder who are totally open to becoming like momentary porn stars?
Oh, yes. They're like, please just use my dick. I don't care. It's awesome. Yeah, so there's no shortage of guys who are interested in participating in Tinder Tales.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
that's just the matter of having chemistry with them or making sure they get tested in a reasonable amount of time, how they talk to me and treat me as a sex worker. I am very quick to just drop somebody if I don't feel like the vibe is there, if I don't feel like they could really handle being and talking to a sex worker at that point in time. Like sometimes it just feels a little disrespectful. So, you know, sometimes I'll explain to them, for example, sorry to go all like jumbly here, but I'll get asked, you know, where can I see your content right away is one of the first questions these guys are asking. And I make a living off my content. So not necessarily just going to send you a bunch of my videos for free.
Right.
So I don't know what you're going to do with them, where they're going to go after that. So I can show you previews and stuff like that. It's just a slow process back and forth with them, understanding what isn't acceptable to say and ask for based on my job.
Right. You know? Yeah. So when you put up your Tinder profile, do you say that that's what you're looking for? Or is it like a dating profile that then once people are talking to you, you're like, oh, by the way, I'm a sex worker. And do you want to be in a video? Like, how does this go down?
Hide it. No, I don't really hide it, but I'm not as blunt. Like, I feel my bio is pretty generalized. I say I'm not looking to catch feelings. You know, I'm not looking for a boyfriend, just looking out like for a fun, clean, chill guy. And I say, don't DM me asking me to come over tonight if you don't have STI and HIV results and at least 3 references. So they get an idea of the... of right. what I'm looking for, but it's not like right out in your face.
So. Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
My Tinder keeps getting deleted.
That's what I was going to ask. So it does. Yeah. It keeps getting deleted. So people flag it, maybe.
Yeah. I think people think that it's not real.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
My photos on there from my Instagram and my Twitter, like maybe they are searching them and finding them attached to these other accounts that don't match my name. I don't know. It's just so, it's weird. So,
right.
Also, it's like interesting too, because this whole process, I mean, like you said, I mean, reality porn has been like a pretty major genre for, I don't know, probably most of the 2000s, probably longer than that, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you go back to like Girls Gone Wild in the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
But the like thing that a lot of, you know, like you said, a lot of the things that come out of the mainstream really is just acting and role play. And so when it actually gets to the sex just becomes rehearsed porn sex.
Yes. You know,
the same porn sex we've all seen in like 10,000 videos. So like the way you're doing this actually seems pretty interesting in that like it sounds pretty real.
Yeah, Tinder Tales is raw. Like sometimes the stress is too much and they're like, oh my God, I can't get it up. I didn't think I would have an issue with this. And it's like, it's okay. You're not a porn star. Like the dialogue between me and my Tinder dates are so open. And I'm the first to ask them, like, what are your limitations? What are you into? What are you not into? Like, if you tell me what you're into, we might be able to incorporate it into this video. If you need time when we're working together to just step aside, you know, think about things. Like, if you ever want to stop at any time, like, just, it's so open. And I have a very open dialogue with them in the interview. And I think it makes the videos better because I feel like when you start dating somebody, you don't exactly start off telling them what you like and what you don't like because you just like them so much. You're just like,
right.
Do what you do. And, but this, there's no obligation. There's no affection, really. It's just sex and it's just fun. And so, telling me like that you like me to rub your balls a lot, like just tell me that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want your experience to be fun and I want you to enjoy it. It's not just like me to make content. This is, I want this to be fun for you and me and the viewers. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, this is really, really interesting. Is this something that you and your partner had to negotiate for a while before you started doing, or was it fairly easy?
It's pretty easy. Like, we've done threesomes in the past, but for a while, like, the guy that we had done our threesomes with had a girlfriend, so I had to find a new guy. I originally got on Tinder just looking for one new co-star, and in the first 2 hours of having an account, I had over 100 matches, and then I was like, wait a minute, let me see who likes me. So I started paying to find out who liked me and like swiping right on the hottest guys in my city. And to my surprise, they were all like beautiful and hung. And it's been a great experience. I honestly can't believe the quality dick I'm finding in my local Tinder. It's insane. Porn star quality dicks. Like, what is in the water out here?
So interesting.
I just like hearing about you using Tinder against the grain and like turning it into a porn app. I think that's funny.
Like, when guys come at me with their game, I'm just like, listen, I'm the most down to fuck girl you will find on this app. Do you want to do this or not? There's no wasting time.
You're like, this is my job and time is money. So like, let's move this along.
Yes and no. Like, sometimes the chemistry is really good and we can banter back and forth, and then we move into texting, and I don't mind sexting a little bit beforehand to build the anticipation. Like, I'm not like, if you want to talk to me, you better pay me to sext me. But yeah, just, I do sex all day long. I don't want to have a second job for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't mind doing it. It's fun. I love texting my Tinder guys when they're at work, like nudes, and stressing them out when they have to open. Like, I don't know, it's hot. It's fun to play with them. They're good toys. But
so you like some of that real energy then too?
Yeah, I feel like chemistry is like number one in Tinder Tales. I feel like each person who's come into my Tinder Tales episodes has had like a personality that just kind of trickled into Twitter. Like, they're characters now that my supporters know the backstory of how we met. Like, the interviews when I start Tinder Tales is how we met. What do you remember about me? Do you know what I was wearing? Like, it's very like fun, and me testing them, asking them, when was the last time you jerked off? And you know, it's so fun. I know my guys love it.
Obviously, you're like a big presence on the internet. Your fans, I'm sure, know all sorts of things about you, but like, it seems like these videos also like give them a chance to connect with the other people who are starring in your videos, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, they do. They're very vocal about what characters they like, who they want back, who they're tired of, who they want to see do this instead of that. Like, they're very vocal about what they like about Tinder Tales.
Sounds like Survivor. Like, they're voting voting your dates off the island, or like The Bachelorette or something.
That would be amazing. Destiny Tinder Bachelorette coming soon. I'll hand them dildos instead of rose.
This would be a good show, I think.
I would pay to watch that.
Who knows? Maybe your fans will too.
So you've been doing this for a long time. Like, how is it that you keep motivated to keep it going and to try new ideas, especially as an independent worker who doesn't have a boss or anything? How do you keep that going?
Yeah, I've been doing this for about 7 years now. And I feel like the first couple of years I was in the industry, I was kind of a lazy cam girl. I logged on, made my money, and I logged off. Like, I wasn't really pushing myself, and I felt like it was just easy. And then when I had a son, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this to the next level. Like, I want to make this big, and I really want to make an impact. So around that time, I joined ManyVids, and I just worked really, really hard on ManyVids because I saw girls of different sizes, different colors and ethnicities, just really rocking ManyVids. It didn't feel like you had to look a certain way to be successful there. So that was something I really wanted to push forward on, was ManyVids. And staying motivated has been really, really difficult. Let me say, like, I love my job and I love so many aspects of it, but it can be very, very demanding sometimes. And it's hard to take a break when you love your job. And then when you take a break, it's hard to come back because you just have so many other things in your mind, or you have so many things you want to do. So
right.
I have a few things that I do to keep myself motivated, or to keep myself balanced is probably a better way to say that.
Yeah. What are those? What have you found that works for you?
So one of the ones that helps me the most is to eliminate my excuses. And I a big part of moving into the place that I'm living in now was that specifically at my old house, I had very limited space, limited lighting, limited time. It was hot. It was just, there were so many things that I could use as an excuse as to why I couldn't get my work done. So I found a place that had natural lighting, lots of space for my equipment. What personally, like when I get hot, I just get stressed out and I just want to stop everything. Yeah. I can't think about anything else when I'm overheated. So I was like, I need an air conditioner or I need a balcony. So I have both of those things. And I just learned how to, you know, recognize my problems and my excuses and plan ahead for them so that I don't have them in the future.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because one of the things that you're saying is that like your space is really important and having like a designated space to do your work and creating the conditions that allow you to do it makes a big difference to mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Where I used to live, I would work and sleep in the same room. And it was just not good for my mental health because every time I laid my head down to sleep in my room, I felt guilty that I wasn't working or being yeah. more productive. And I constantly had my workspace in my face as I was trying to relax. And that was really, really difficult. So here I have a totally separate space to work in. And for the first time in my life, I only use my bedroom to sleep and relax. And it's kept that feeling in there. I mean, occasionally I come in to film because I need a new set.
Yeah.
But right. That equipment comes right out as soon as I'm done because that's not a filming spot. Like it's not a workspace.
Right. We did that too. We moved all of our stuff out of our bedroom for kind of the same reason as we're like on top of each other. When you work in your house, it's really easy for everything mm-hmm. to bleed into everything else.
Yeah.
And yeah.
just for nothing to feel restful, too. Mm-hmm. I think like you were saying.
Yeah, having a separate space to relax, I just felt was so good for my mental health. Because when I wasn't there, I didn't have my phone or anything. So the only thing I was focused on was like relaxing in this room. And it felt so good. And it was enough time to relax and disconnect where I didn't feel like I needed to take really long breaks from work because I was overstressed and like having meltdowns.
Right. So, yeah.
I highly recommend, even if all you have is the space in your room, have a spot where you can like disassemble the stuff and put it away. So it's not in your face when you're not working.
Right. Yeah. I think it's hard. It's hard, especially with social media too, where like, I know I have a hard time with like work-life balance where I feel like I'm constantly like responding to things. And it's hard not to feel a pressure to do that.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And people always say to me, like, do you ever sleep? Like, you're always posting. You're always awake doing something. Like, what is your sleep schedule even like? And to be honest, I sleep when I'm tired. And when I'm up, I try to be as productive as possible. Another thing that helps me stay motivated so I don't fall behind on my work is if I know that I have a big shooting day planned, like photos and snap packs and camming, then the night before, I'll use something like Hootsuite so that I can schedule tweets to come out while I'm working so I don't have to be a slave to Twitter while I'm also trying to get things done. I don't have to worry about that promotion aspect that's being taken care of, and I can focus on this thing because yeah. I try to balance way too much. I try to do everything at once, and just stopping and seeing what needed to be done on a priority list was so much better for me as well.
Yeah. I think that's particularly hard for online workers too, because even when you're in the industry, it's like not easy to see what behind the scenes looks like for other people.
Mm-hmm.
All you see is like what they're producing. And so it's hard to get a sense of like how people are managing their work. It's not like you have coworkers that you're with every day.
Oh yeah. Like it's hard to learn yeah. from each other.
Yeah, it's hard to learn from each other.
I think that's why it's important to have industry friends so that you can kind of get an idea of like, am I working too hard or am I not working enough? Or finding a friend who works a little bit more than you helps you stay motivated too, or have an accountability buddy, you know, someone to be like, did you get online today? That yeah. can just help you stay motivated. For like, and that's, it doesn't have to be just camming for that. I mean, it could be fitness. Maybe you have an industry friend who you're also trying to get fit with. Just having an accountability buddy, I think is really helpful.
Right. Yeah.
Especially if you can't hold yourself accountable.
Right.
Let someone else guilt trip you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you said that you're working on something. What are you working on?
Yeah, I make a lot of model help videos specifically for ManyVids models, but they do kind of branch off of ManyVids. So the videos that I have right now are like tips and tricks on how to use ManyVids, like a tutorial and a breakdown of myths that people think the way ManyVids is laid out, the way it's actually laid out, and profile consultations. I've done graphics for model stores. After AVN, I did how I survived my first convention and my tips on how to work a booth and be more present when you're meeting fans and just things to consider. So I'm working on right now is staying motivated, because over the last month, it's been a little struggle for me. So I thought it was a perfect time to talk about it. And so I've just been working on this video. And I haven't just sat down and written 10 random facts. Like, I've been watching videos and finding things that really, truly motivate me to pass along. And I do that on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram too. I hope I don't post things that people think are just cheesy Tumblr quotes, because when I post something that I find motivational, like, I really read it and I think about it and I embody it before I post it, because I really care about the things I'm putting out. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't judge me on my Instagram story though, because I do post a lot of jokes. But motivation wise, I think I'm someone who I'm sticker motivated. I'm award motivated. I like to see an end point. I don't like to work on tasks that are just never ending. Mm. Don't have like a set time where it's over. It's just unsatisfying for me. Another thing that helps me stay motivated too, which is on this list, is I love post-it notes. So anytime I hear a quote or I have an idea, I just post it on this wall behind my computer, and that way it's always in my face. And, you know, if I'm feeling uninspired, I have like 40 post-it notes that are like, why can't you go work on this? Why can't you work on that? Even if I'm not feeling it the day I think of it, it's up there and it's an idea for later. When I do have that motivation, I try not to make myself feel so guilty too, because I'm really hard on myself with motivation.
Right. Have you gotten a lot of feedback from other models who've gotten a lot out of your videos?
Oh my gosh. The response I've gotten from my model help videos, I think, is what took my cam career to the next level. When I started uploading tips and tricks and model help stuff, I was thinking, how are people going to perceive this? I don't want people to think that, oh, who's this girl? She knows everything. That's not the case. I just wanted to be somebody that I wish I had when I started the industry, because I remember feeling like I had a lot of potential and I wanted to learn and absorb as much as possible, and no one wanted to share their tips. And I was like, oh, yeah, please just show me what I have to do, because I'll do it. And I feel this now when I sign up to new websites. Looking around Fan Centra the other day, and I'm like, geez, I wish someone had a model help video on this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get it. And I think we all have a lot of skills and not enough time. So if I can just eliminate the amount of time it's going to take for you to trial and error what works for you, or if you want to watch my video and see what I do and then interpret that on what you think might work for you and you apply it, like, I've gotten so many good responses. Models have come back to me and told me that they doubled or quadrupled their income and their traffic, and they are very gracious.
Amazing.
And I get a lot of positive feedback from that. I think that's why I've won Miss Congeniality those 2 years, because I don't give out this information because, like I said, I don't think I'm better than them. I just really believe in helping everyone. And I think that we are so much stronger when we know more together. If another model comes up with an idea of how we can all make money, like, I appreciate that hustle. And I just hope that some of the ideas I have spark other people's ideas to start new trends and stuff like that. Because I don't know, I feel we're the ones changing the industry, so we need to communicate with each other a bit better.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think everyone can do better if we all help each other. It's not as if there's a shortage of, you know, customers.
I know. I always say this to models. Like, TSN doesn't get mad at you for watching the Comedy Network. You know, your fans are allowed to enjoy different types of people. So I've never been someone who is really territorial or possessive of my fans.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, I like to put them on other people, because I think it's really hot. Like, that's a cool, fun connection I have with my fans. I'm like, did you see this girl's ass? Like, you need to follow her. What are you doing? Like, tell her to tweet me. Like, I'm fangirling over here.
Yeah.
And it's fun because we do it together.
Yeah, no, that's really fun.
Spreading love.
It's like a very poly orientation towards sex work.
Yeah. All my boyfriends, all my supporters are my boyfriends. feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. You only have a couple weeks left before you take off for XBiz. What are you looking forward to?
I thought that I was going to go to XBiz and do all of the seminars, but I have to admit, I'm really just going for the parties. I can't wait to network and meet people in the most respectful way. I'm sure I will go to some panels and interviews and events within XBiz, but I'm really excited to network because I feel like at AVN's, it was so fast. I would see someone in the hallway, walk by, hi, take a picture and just go. Totally. I would love to just sit down and like have connections with my industry friends because I don't have a lot of friends in my personal life, in my real life. A lot of it is online and yeah. I really value those friendships and I want to spend time with these people. I'm really excited for the Miami Heat also. I live in Canada and I'm just ready for it. It literally snowed here last week after I put my patio set out. So oh I gosh. Just want to go to Miami so bad.
Get some sun, hang out at the pool. It's fun. They have lots and lots of pool parties every day.
Yeah, I heard that there was like a speed talent networking thing, like a speed date with talent. Oh yeah. My God.
I did it last year and it was really stressful to me. But,
oh, no.
But part of that is because like I'm an introvert and it's hard for me to go from like person to person to person like that. And it's loud mm-hmm. and it's really short. But it was also interesting. I mean, you take business cards and so all you really have time to do is be like, hey, check me out and I'll follow you back and let's chat another time. But I think I'm jealous because we went the last 2 years and it was really fun and we're not going to make it this year. But it's a great experience just to be able to like have casual interactions with industry people,
yeah.
like at the yeah. pool or at the hotel bar or walking around.
Yeah. At AVN, I didn't do any parties. Like by the time night came, I was like, good night. I was just so tired from just running around everywhere and getting ready and just the stress and the pressure. So I'm really looking forward to this one being a bit more relaxing. I want to go back on the speed dating networking thing really quick.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I had gone to XBiz last year, I wouldn't be looking forward to that. But ever since I stepped outside of my comfort zone with Tinder, I feel like a lot more confident meeting people within the industry and like attending these things. And I'm excited to like let this new destiny shine in person.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, I would not do the speed dating last year. I know I would not have 100%.
What's nice about XBiz is it's just such a different pace than other conventions, and it's so much more like personal in terms of how you interact with other industry folks. I think it's really valuable to have that mm-hmm. space.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I think, like I said, more than Vegas. Vegas was great, but Miami, I'm just so excited because I got all my nerves out and I'm just ready to go and have a good time. And I already know people because I met people in Vegas. So
yeah,
I'm not going to be alone.
Well, I hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
So on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, I'm Destiny with 2 D's _Diaz. And you can find all of my Tinder tales on destinydiaz.manyvids.com. I'm also on like Pornhub, I Want Clips, Clips for Sale, Sex Panther, but just look, tweet at me, let me know what you want. I'll hook you up. I'll lead you in the right direction. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Peep Show podcast. I'm PJ Sage, and you can find me on Twitter at PJ Sage.
And I'm Jesse Sage, and you can find me on Twitter at sapiotextual or at jessesage.com.
We would like to remind you that we have a Patreon account and would appreciate your support. Please visit patreon.com/peepshowpodcast. Our music is courtesy of Joe Kennedy. The show was produced by Jesse and PJ Sage.
Signing off. Have a great week.